that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, talking to them, Take heed that no man deceive you for us today. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, and there shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and divers or many places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great time that we are celebrating. Father, your first coming into this world. But Father, I also believe we need to be celebrating your second coming into this world. Because Father, this church age has passed by mighty quick, even though it's been 2,000 years. But Father, we know it's close at hand. No man knows a time, as we know in the Word of God says. But Father, you tell us to get ready because you're coming back. And Father, you are the answer to all of our problems, and mankind will never have peace upon this earth until the Prince of Peace comes back to this earth. We pray that you might open our understanding here this day. Father, that you might enlighten us of the surrounding times and the day which you and I are living in here today. And Father, for us to understand and to be encouraged. Father, to help our loved ones, friends, our family, and our neighbors to understand, Father, that the time is growing mighty short. And Father, we pray that even here this day, if someone do not know you as their Lord and Savior, the day will be the day. Father, we pray that you might move upon each heart that's here, that they may understand, Father, they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we thank you in the precious name of your son, Jesus, and our Lord, we thank you in his name. Amen and amen and amen. Jesus said it's a sign of his disciples, the same as today. The signs have been fulfilling for 2,000 years. And people says, well, the Bible is fulfilling itself and getting ready for the second coming. But you see, we know the signs have been fulfilled is after the rapture of the church. Not just the second coming of Jesus Christ, but after the rapture of the church, talking about the great tribulation. You see, the great tribulation could start tonight. It could start tonight. The great tribulation. Because after the rapture of the church and Jesus Christ come back this morning, and after that, great tribulation has never been before and never will be again on this earth, called 7 years of the great tribulation. The milepost along the way that God has showed me, even as my traveling, as we went to Texas, we traveled through state by state by state, and those mileposts that passed along, you know, you was getting into the state by the milepost. God is giving us a milepost in the Word of God, and we should recognize these mileposts because they are warnings, and also they are encouragement to us of the great time that we are living in today for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for others. The time is here. We talked about the mileposts of spiritual departure. We're living in the days of spiritual departure. And I preached on that two Sundays ago when I was reading back in my office of the Christian Index. The Christian Index gives us an account of year 2000 Southern Baptist, the lowest baptism since 1948 across America in Southern Baptist churches. The loss of members from 2014, the largest decline in membership since 1881. Spiritual departure across the world, across our nation. This is just supporting of what I said and what I have been saying. We're living in the time of spiritual departure. People do not care about God, the people of God, the things of God, or the house of God. And that just shows you the greatest decline in many years. That's what Jesus Christ said. He says these last signs, the milepost will be spiritual departure. And I talked about that and I preached about our spiritual departure. Signpost number two was a social distress, because spiritual departure always brings social distress upon the people, the nation, and upon the world. Since we have this spiritual departure, we have this social distress upon all mankind today. A great stress upon us, and I talked about that last Sunday. And those two follows, like day follows night, night follows day, then we have physical disruption. Physical destruction brings about because of spiritual departure and social destruction or stress. That's what it brings, and we're living in that day today of this destruction that we've seen upon the face of our earth, especially in our country. As I said, traveling here, as I went from state to state on my trip, and the biggest, I guess, thought that God had given me is when we was passing over the Mississippi River. I know most of y'all have been over the Mississippi River, but a lot of states, as you see these signposts being knocked off, get down to number one, then most of the time they have a river. A lot of the states have a lot of rivers. Savannah, Georgia, you know, as you go across to South Carolina, there's a big, big river, big bridge. Well, as I was counting off these signposts, God began to speak to my mind, and as I begin to preach to you now about these mileposts that we're stepping off each day of our life, each year of our life, and then there comes a bridge. And then you go up and up, and it's a big bridge. You go up and up and up over the Mississippi River. You see, when signpost number one comes by, the rapture of the church, and then we're going to go up and up and up and over, and we're coming back down with the Lord at His second coming on this earth again. And while we was going up over that river, I began to look down, and I saw the waters flowing under that river, and it reminded me of the waters of God's judgment and wrath that are going to be poured out on this world as you and I and all Christians are going up and over, and we will be back down when Jesus Christ comes to touch down ground on this old earth again. That's what we're headed for this very day. We're headed to a place of no return. The judgment of God, the waters as it was the day of Noah, also the day that you and I are living in today. The rapture in 7 years tribulation. And this is going to happen whenever the rapture comes. You say, well, all these things you talk about in Revelation of the tribulation time, how's this going to be? Well, you see, it says when the time of Revelation, begin to read and study the book of Revelation, you'll find that when these things start happening, and they already started happening in your lifetime right now, they'll happen bam, 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 real quick. Things are happening in my life so quick, it is amazing to me how things have changed this much in just the last few years. God said it'll be that way. There'll be great change, and it'll be fast, fast, fast. It's going to happen. As I said, the great tribulation could start tonight. And anybody has heard the word of God by the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the word of God, when the word of God takes the word of God and by the Spirit of God revealed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to anyone, and they say no, God says that you will not believe the truth. I will send you strong delusions that you might believe a lie. It may be some of your loved ones going to face the Antichrist tonight. Today. If the rapture of the church comes this morning, the great tribulation will be started. And those loved ones, those family friends, whoever they may be or anybody, they will doom and damn to a place called hell, because they have rejected the truth. Spiritual departure. We have this spiritual departure from God's word, and it brings social distress upon the people of movement upon this earth. And then we have this physical destruction. The day of Noah, it was physical destruction. Why do we have this? Deception, it says also, of the counterfeit Christ. Deception of counterfeit Christ. At verse 4 and 5 that I read, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am a Christ, and shall deceive many. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, behold, beloved, not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is in this world today. The Antichrist spirit has been here many years. You will not know, no one will know who the Antichrist really is. He will not be revealed until the rapture of the church, and me and you will be gone. There's a lot of speculation about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a real person. He is a real person. You might say he's just full of the devil. But you will not know who it is, because we will be gone. But your loved ones, your family, your friends may be going to face this man called the Antichrist. Jesus Christ warned us, a Christian, not to be deceived about the spirit of Antichrist, because he's already is in this world. That word anti comes from two words. One word means against, and the other word means instead of. Anti, Antichrist, against Christ and instead of Christ is what we have. It's amazing today to see what people really believe in. It is amazing what people call Christians, what they will really believe in today. Matthew chapter 29, 9, 10, 11 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Talking about Christians today in verse 9, and you know what it says? They shall deliver you up, and you shall be afflicted. You shall be hated, all nations, for my name's sake. That is today, that's called persecution of Christianity. Do I have to say more? Do you believe that's here today? Do you believe that's around the world today? Do you believe now there's war against Christians and Christianity today? Badly in our country today. They're going to center in on the name of Jesus Christ. That's where the hatred comes in at. We're living in that days right now, the hatred of Jesus Christ. This world does not mind religion, but it resents Jesus Christ, this world. Religion of this world, hey, this world is religious all over. Very few atheists. But this world hates Jesus Christ and resents Jesus Christ. Mr. President, you're one of them. Why? Because Jesus said, here's the reason they hate him. Because he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. That means there's no other way to heaven except by Jesus Christ. That's the reason the Muslim wants to kill us. That's the reason they hate Christianity. That's the reason all religion of the world do not like Christianity, because we say, and we cannot change that, because God is right, God is truth, Jesus Christ is the only way. We cannot let that down. Jesus Christ is hated because of what he said. In verse 10 it said, and they shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. What is that saying? It's saying that many will leave the church. Now, I had not read the Christian Index when I had my sermon ready to go. It just reinformed me what God has already said. Many will leave the church. Many are left the church. Even here at Pleasant Hill, many will not come to a church service. Many Christians, many members of this church will not come to a church service. We're in these last days. Why? Because social pressure. Because preaching of the Word of God will separate people from their sin. And they'll not be able to stand the heat of this world. They will leave churches today. There's a lot of people that want to hear about homosexuality. It might not be preached in a lot of pulpits. That is a sin. You know, this world accepts this. Our country accepts this as an alternate lifestyle, Mr. President. But the Word of God said it's sin, just like any other sin. God will not tolerate that sin. Also, abortion. Don't know right from wrong. And also, it says, you know what? Social acceptance, but not for the church. That's the reason we have empty pews today. Because people will not come. People will not be what they should be. They will not be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in the days when people will not be Christians, will not be committed to Jesus Christ. Because if you're committed to Jesus Christ, you will be at the house of God at an appointed time. It says there, understand this, verse 11 and verse 5 that I read. One says false Christ, antichrist. Some says false prophets. Listen, there is a difference in antichrist and a difference in false prophets. They are false Christ in pulpits across our nation, even in Baptist churches. False Christ, antichrist. How do you distinguish to tell them apart from a false Christ or a false prophet? As we see on television, they'll always be religious. That is a false Christ. They'll always be religious as a false Christ. That's the way we identify them, because they are religious. Joseph Smith, the foundation of the Mormon faith in 1820, this Joseph Smith had a vision of the Lord, and he is equal with Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ appeared to the over in the Holy Lands, Joseph Smith appeared here in this country called the United States. And the Mormons believe that Joseph Smith is equal to Jesus Christ. Both of them are great prophets, great teachers. They say that they are equal. False Christ. Joseph Smith. Jehovah Witness. Armstrong. Same. We have the Muslim, the growing religion in the world. The Islamic faith. Muhammad. Allah. They are very religious. They are false Christ. But then it says there in verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. What is a false prophet? A false prophet shall rise and deceive many, because there's a difference in this. False Christ will always be religious. A false prophet is someone who speaks with authority, and that authority becomes the norm of the people around him and the people that that person involves himself with. With that great authority, ideology, they call it here. You ever heard this from the White House, his ideology? That is a false prophet, because he's against God. Against God. And all these ideologies that we have today, these false prophets, they deny Jesus Christ. And they stress the humanistic view of man's rights. A true prophet stresses the rights of Almighty God. You better understand that, because it's here today in our leadership today. Against God. The first thing we see, deception of this counterfeit Christ in the days of this physical destruction that we're having upon our country and upon our world today, inching up to the great rapture coming to this world in the great tribulation time. Division of continuous conflict that we're having. These brings it down step by step. Everything that we're seeing happening in your lifetime right now, as we sit on the pews of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, we see this division of this continuous conflict is coming upon our country, because these mileposts is passing by that I've called out. Verses 6 and 7 again. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in divers or many, many different places today. These mileposts. A growing intensity of war in the very day that you and I are living in today. a growing intensity of war. The Russia. You see, that's the great bear. Well, you see, that great bear was wounded. Communists collapsed, and that bear was wounded. And I tell you, a bear that's wounded is more dangerous than one that's alive and well. That wounded bear is coming back. If we go in the book of Revelation, I can show you and tell you where. That wounded bear of Russia. That China is showing his military power, which would be the one of the greatest armies in the world. 200 million. The book of Revelation. China's coming back to the forefront of the world power. The United States is going down fast in your lifetime right now. North Korea. Should I say more about Tehran? Of that great treaty that this thing called a president and his cronies have passed, that this nation that wants to kill us has given them $500 billion to make the bomb I'm fixing to talk about. The Middle East, terrorism we have across the world and also in the United States today. It says the division of this conflict, it continues on. When the president made the treaty with Tehran, they already set off two missiles against that treaty. This president have done absolutely nothing about it and will not do anything about it. This country is going down. This president had this treaty, and while he was signing this treaty, those people said in 25 years they will do away with the nation of Israel. Israel will not be a nation. They'll blow it off the face of the map. While he was signing this treaty, and they was in the streets saying death to the great Satan. Who is the great Satan, far as they concerned? United States of America. We're living in those days right now. Wipe Israel off. All nations of the world are going to go against the nation of Israel. We will not be able to take them because the United States is the first president to ever turn their back on the nation of Israel, and he's done just exactly that. Ezekiel 12, 2 and 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about when they shall be in siege both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day, talk to the Lord, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burdens himself with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. The battle of Armageddon. It could start pretty rapture after rapture. God will move and protect that nation of Israel, but it's already lined up against him. This conflict, contentiously conflict against the nation Israel. We already passed that milepost. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29, as I've read. They're going to be tribulations. Of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall be given not give her light, and stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This is Jesus Christ talking about what's happening and what's going to happen in these last days that you and I are living in today. And this word in verse 24 says, power and of the heavens shall be shaken. This milepost that we're talking about, and this very president and made this treaty with this nation of Tehran. The Greek word for power means explosive. Means explosive. The word heaven, where we get our word from, uranium. Uranium. It should say, the explosion of uranium shall be unleashed. If you don't know what that is, I'm fixing to tell you. Uranium. What they're trying to get right now, the bomb, the missile. Not an atomic bomb, but uranium. In World War II, the atom bomb was dropped. That bomb weighed 500 pounds or better. I understand. Japan, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, 88,000 people died instant. 110,000 people died shortly after. And for 10 years, one out of every five babies was either born stillborn are greatly deformed. The day that you and I are living, when that president signed this treaty, It's more dangerous and more serious than it's ever been before. You want to know how serious it is? Atomic bomb. If you was dropped one atomic bomb every day for 13 years, every day for 13 years on the face of this earth, that would come up to a 20,000 ton megaton bomb and they're after right now. Your mind can't even comprehend the power of a 20-ton megaton bomb. They say it's even possible to make a 200-ton megaton bomb. God said in His Word, the explosion of uranium shall be unleashed. The power of heaven shall be shaken. Mankind has the power now to annihilate human beings as we know it. God's not going to allow that. Not all at one time anyway. The power of the heavens shall be shaken. There are going to be division of contingent conflict upon this earth from this day on as you live. It's coming, it's not going to leave. The stress of these consequences that it's going to bring, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The mileposts we just passed are passing right now. Of this treaty with this nation that so wants to kill you and I this morning. And there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Pestilence, as I've already talked about. Because after war, there's always famine and there's always pestilence. But there's always famine. War always brings starvation. You just look at the history and see where the war has been fought at. It always have starvation. It always bring starvation. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Jesus said to His disciples when He read and He told them about this great explosion, these powers, earth shall be shaken. He told them what was going to happen. He said, all these things, when they come to pass, as you open your eyes today, if you have any eyes to open, you have any ears to hear, to see what's happening upon our world and our nation today through the Word of God, not know through speculation of what you think or what I think, but what God says. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrow. It's the beginning of sorrow. What's He talking about? The famine of war brings starvation. And the population of this world begins to grow and double. You say, well, we got plenty to eat in our country. Yes, we have. But the failure of agriculture is on the way, even in our country, even in around the world. As I read on this for a good long time, they say that the land is being worked so hard that the topsoil are either be sterile or either be eroded away. It's being worked so hard to provide the food for over 7 billion people on the face of this earth right now. Science tells us that this population, we cannot sustain the population of this world as it keeps growing, that somebody's got to starve. And they know it's coming. Nations are going to starve. It's just which nation is going to starve because they're going to starve. It's coming. It's right here today. It's all lined up, the mileposts that we're passing every day as we see this. The biologist tells us we cannot sustain this today. I was watching not too long ago about a documentary there on television about honeybees. As simple as a little honeybee. And it tells us, you know, that they pollinate most of the food that you and I eat. And a little simple thing as that honeybee, it said 80 to 90% of the honeybees has already been killed off. The milepost is here. Famine is on the way. Starvation is coming. We're no longer in this world going to have the luxuries of the food that you and I know today is coming. It's coming to our country. This country is not going to be under judgment of God. It's already under judgment of God. If you read the book of Revelation, you know that this world, this country that we live in, is a world power, mighty in every way. But you will not read the mighty power of the United States in the book of Revelation. Because we have seen in your lifetime, in my lifetime, how powerful we have grown. But just under one president, we have seen our country going down, down, down. He is against this country. Pestilence, the AIDS virus, Ebola. Now, I just seen on television this past week where they got some type of super bug. I don't know what it is, but they don't have any cure for it. The mileposts that we're passing, these pestilence, that's plagues. But I want to tell you in these last few minutes about earthquakes. These earthquakes. The increase of earthquakes, I read from 1995 to 2002, over 130,000 people have been killed by earthquakes. Now the pain is intensely growing. In the 20th century, it said 1 million people has been killed by earthquakes. We passed that milepost of earthquakes. A place of safety? Where? From earthquakes. Where would you go have a safe place from earthquakes? Where would you go? Where is it at? Seem like these earthquakes, God is saying by a demonstration of his mighty power, reminds us of the milepost that we have passed already. That every time that God wants to do something by shaking the spiritual world by earthquakes and also shaking the material world, he does it by earthquakes. What are you standing on today will be secure when God shakes this world. And listen, I'll tell you, God's going to shake this world. I want to show you the Word of God, not what this preacher said. You don't worry about what this preacher said. You get your Bibles out and see what God's saying. Earthquakes are redemption. When he wanted to do a spiritual something, earthquake are redemption. In Matthew chapter 27, 50 and 51, Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, yield up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. At the time of redemption, God sent earthquakes to this earth. Like my old mother earth was broken up by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your redemption was because an earthquake happened at the time of redemption that Jesus Christ had died on the cross of Calvary. People's not disturbed about the death of Jesus Christ. They're not disturbed about what happened to him, how he's broken on the cross of Calvary. It says the rocks shook and rent. If I'm going to tell you what, whenever you see this table before us, we preach on Calvary and redemption, if that don't break your heart and cause your heart to break, your heart is harder than the stones that God said it rent in two. What would it take to shake Christians up to their hearts might be melted enough to come and worship and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to die on the cross of Calvary, they may have redemption. And God said he sent earthquakes and the rocks rent and the earth shook because of your redemption this day. The earthquake of redemption. Where's the people out of God and say they believe in Jesus Christ? Where are they at today? Sitting on the pews of the church, or are they sitting in their recliners today? But you see, the earthquake of resurrection. The earthquake of resurrection. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 and on. In the end of the seventh, as the beginning to draw on towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came rolling back the stones from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. You see, Jesus Christ, when he came out of that tomb, there was a great earthquake. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ shook this world with an earthquake. God did from the power on heaven, shook this earth. Redemption and resurrection of Jesus Christ when he was resurrected. God shook this earth at Calvary. There the power, he says, of the death of my son, Jesus Christ. God shook it whenever we find out the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the saving power of his resurrection when he came out of that grave. God shook this world. And then we have the earthquake of revival across the church age. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they was all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they did speak the words with God with boldness. It said they prayed, and this place was shaken. The power in his death of his blood. The power, wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The earthquakes there of redemption, and the earthquakes there of resurrection, and the power when the Holy Spirit ascended on the church, the power of the revival, the shaking of the world, the shaking of the foundation, and the shaking of hell itself. But then there's an earthquake in the great tribulation time. There's going to be punishment on this earth, for the people have rejected Jesus Christ and rejected him today. In Revelation chapter 6 and 12 it says, "And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." Revelation 8 and 5 says, "The angel took the censer and was filled with fire, and altar from the altar cast it on the earth, and there was voices and thundering and lightning and great earthquake." Revelation 11 and 13, "And the same hour were those great earthquakes, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake was slain of men, and 7,000 and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven." Revelation 16 and 18, "There was voices and thundering lightning, and there was great earthquake, such as was not seen of man upon this earth, so mighty as earthquake and so great." The greatest earthquake is in our future. These other earthquakes is just a signpost lining up, and it could start tonight. It could start tonight. There will be an earthquake of his return. There will be an earthquake of his return. Hebrews chapter 12 and 25. "See that ye refuse not him that perish, that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spoke on earth, such more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." This is whenever God gave Noah the Ten Commandments, and the mountain shook. It says in verse 26, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. The earth and heaven shall be shaken with great uranium power." And this word yet once more signify the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be removed. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. God is going to shake. He shook Mount Sinai. When he spoke the word of God, it trembled, the earth shook. Hebrews 12 and 20 says, "Yet once more I will shake not just the only this earth, but the heavens also." This is a promise by Jesus Christ. I will promise. I will shake this earth that you're standing on, and also the heavens you might look up in. He says, "I will shake it." God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. Heaven and earth, where do you stand now? And the things that cannot be shaken shall remain. Now today, when this earthquake comes, and God promised it's going to come, I think about the great cities of New York City, Chicago, and all the great cities across the world. I think what's going to happen with this great earthquake, when they think they're standing on something solid, and the most solid thing that you and I know as human beings is this Mother Earth that we stand on. But when this Mother Earth begins to shake, where are you going to stand for security? It says there, verse again in 27, "I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken, and the things that cannot be shaken will remain." Where are you going to be standing? There's only one place to stand, and that is on the Rock of Ages. Stand on that rock, and it will not be shaken. And that rock is Jesus Christ. You know, people stand today on their bank account, they do not need God. They're standing on their bank account. No need for God. They're standing on their church membership. I'm a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, been baptized. They're standing on that. They're standing on their good works. I'm just as good as anybody else. They're standing on that. When I have more convenient time, I will come and worship the Lord. They're standing on their good jobs. They're standing on their health. They're standing on their families, love, and security. Where do you stand today? Because everything is going to be shaken that can be shaken. And the only thing will not be shaken is that solid rock of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning, I do believe we have passed these mileposts that I have preached on. Now, I believe the rapture of the church could come any moment, any minute. And when it does, you're going to see things speed up. Or you won't see them because you won't be here. I hope you won't be here. If you're saved, you won't be here. I wonder if you'd have to say goodbye to one of your loved ones. I wonder if there's someone in your household, that grandchild, that husband, that wife, that has no time to serve God. They have no time, no need of God in their life. They think they're getting by. Oh, I can worship God anywhere, anytime I want to. Yeah, you need to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. Because you see, God says, I'm going to shake everything. I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. What are you going to stand on when that begins to shake? What are you standing on this morning? If God will take everything away from you, what have you got to stand on? You see that family member and that loved one, that friend, you see people need to be saved. Because that's the only way to stand on that solid rock of salvation. Whenever Jesus Christ comes back. You see, he's not going to come back and touch on this earth that first time. He's coming back in the air. And we're going to go up to air to meeting. We're going over that bridge of the Mississippi River. We're going up, 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 and we're going over, and we're going to come back down. After 7 years, we're going to come back down with him to reign and rule with him 1,000 years. But during that time, the troubled waters of God's judgment will be upon this world that you and I are living in. And the things I have described to you this morning, they're real. They're out of our Savior's mouth. He cannot lie. They're coming. And for us to put this off and think very lightly about the days of Noah and our day today, he says you better beware, you better be encouraged, and you better encourage some of your family members, because it might be a lot sooner than a lot of us expect it might be. It might be today. Tribulation time might start tonight. How about your husband? How about your wife? How about your mother and your father? And your sister and your brother, and about your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors. All they say, you say, oh, well, they know Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people knows about Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, knowing about Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven just by knowing about him. It says that Satan himself, the devil, he knows with fear and trembling. He believes. You see, what's the difference of some of people's belief and Satan's belief? Because he said he believes. And there's such a thing as a saved devil. I'm going to tell you, if your belief or their belief don't cause them to want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong. The more you know about him, the more that you'll love him, the more that you'll love him, the more that you'll serve him. You see, it's time to make a decision. Because whenever that bugle blows, it's going to be too late for a lot of people. They say, well, I'll just wait and be saved there at the tribulation time. No, you won't. You're reading the Bible there where there are many, many multitude of people saved in tribulation time. Yeah. But that ain't the one that's heard the Lord Jesus Christ beckon them to come to be saved. That's not them. Because you read the book of Revelation, you'll find there's a phrase over and over and over again that God's speaking to a certain group of people. And that phrase is the earth dwellers. Those that dwell upon the earth. What does that mean? It means people living today. This world is all they're worried about. This world is all they're seeking. That's all they care about. The earth dwellers are living today. God says when that time comes, that group of people, I'm going to send them strong delusion. They won't believe the truth, they'll believe a lie. And that's the earth dwellers he's talking about. And those people will not want to be saved in the tribulation time. In hell, people are gnashing their teeth and hating God, and they'll be hating God through the 7-year tribulations. And there'll be hell here on this earth. Yes, there'll be a lot of people saved, but it'll be different. The blood they'll have to shed. A terrible day is coming. God has given us warning. God has given us signpost after signpost after signpost after signpost. We're traveling down this road of no return. And I think we're very close to that bridge. Or we're going up. We're going over. We're going down again. I hope God has spoke to you and you understand that we need to be serious with God's business. I hope you take it to some of your loved ones and friends. You better get ready. Because he's coming back. As we come with a song of invitation this morning, these signs are real. We're fixing to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his first coming. You know, we need to celebrate already of his second coming because he's coming back. And it's not going to be long as it have been. You know that. You say, well, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. That's what it said in the Bible. But there's never a time of any generation can see the signs that you and I are seeing right this very day that we are living. These signs that I'm telling you, they're not about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They are about the tribulation time, and we know the rapture is going to come before then. They're here today. You need to get right with the Lord. Every one of us need to get more serious about Jesus Christ. He's coming back again as we stand and sing this beautiful song.